Got us rolling, and we'll just call it right in 3, 2, 1.
This is Vance Major, actor of Starship Valiant, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. Into a crisis times when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out. What's in my head? And I am feeling a little peculiar. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on? And I say,
everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan,
Logan,
and today we have Vance Major back on with us. He is a producer, director, actor of several Star Trek fan productions. So, Vance, thanks for coming back on again.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it, especially after the debacle that was tonight with Skype and everything. Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Skype is so wonderful. It's not like the Federation's technology, right?
Right.
Just to give everybody a little bit of knowledge, we introduced Vance Howitt as an actor. You can go to the YouTube channel Starship Valiant, and you can see him there. That's where he started out as an actor and got into the fan film productions for Star Trek. Then he kind of got into it with himself and started doing a production that he did out of Shadowstorm Studios. And that was with Stormfront and a couple other things that we'll visit about. But his biggest project, what I'm calling the Quadrillion arc, I don't know what you would call it, Vance, you'll have to correct me, but that is on his YouTube channel, Uncool Trekkie. And these links will be in the show notes, so be sure to check those out and view all these that we'll be talking about. But I want you to let us know, Vance, what brought about all of this. Don't have to go into great details, but this is kind of your, well, one of your shows was called Around the World, kind of like Around the World of all the fan productions you've been in and some of the things you've helped with this series of stories.
Well, the whole thing, when you're working with fan films, you know, when I first started, in fact, I think my first interview was with you.
Was it?
You know, like I was a little, you know, wet behind the ears, a little green. You know, the whole thing was pretty much, you know, new to me, and playing the Menard character. You know, I had high hopes for what I'd be able to do in terms of story with the character and everything. And that was one of the things that really appealed to me working with Michael on Starship Valiant, was the fact that we'd be able to really delve into characters. Sadly, one of the things that creeps up with fan films in general, not just Starship Valiant, but just in general, is the fact that it's so long between quote unquote episodes or films between each film. It was one of those things where I really wanted, since I knew the time shooting with Michael on Valiant would be kind of, you know, scattered, I really wanted to give a little bit more depth to the Menard character. So when you saw him, it was a character that was familiar. Kind of like when you saw Chief O'Brien on DS9, even if he wasn't, you know, the focal point of that story, he was still a character that you could gravitate toward because you already had several episodes of Next Gen with him. You know, he was a character that you were familiar with. And that was what I wanted with the Menard character. So I really decided to flesh him out, mostly with parallels of my own life experiences, because it's like people really tend to write what they know. And so, you know, even though I wasn't a Starfleet officer, I could put, you know, a lot of my own life experiences into the character and, you know, then in turn translate that into, you know, Starfleet experiences and whatnot. So when you sit there and saw him, you know, then on Starship Valiant, you could be like, oh, I already know that dude. So it was just in terms of, you know, what do I want to give back to the Star Trek universe, you know, a franchise that I love, and then add to Michael's story, you know, a great storyteller that I respect and a guy that I love, because the dude's one of my best friends in fan films. So, you know, it's just, you know, that was what I ultimately wanted to accomplish. And I think I did that.
And I haven't counted them up. You have several different episodes that you've produced the last 2 years, I believe you've been working on, or just the last year. So you've been very busy with doing this and calling in a lot of your friends, and they've been nice enough to come back. And like I said, it's kind of around the world of fan films, because you've called in people from all the fan productions that are kind of loosely associated together. They're technically not, but it's kind of formed a little bit of a family tree there to a degree, to try to do some cohesive timeline storylines. But with this, and like I said, you mentioned Menard, it's Eric Menard's character. I don't know if you have an overarching title for this. Like I said, I just threw out the Quadrillion arc because that's the main MacGyver or MacGuffin.
Either Quadrillion or Menard. Because there's about five different Menards in there.
True.
They're all the same Menard.
Right. They like a lot of people dubbed it the Menard Chronicles or Menard Saga. Like, to me, like, I just get flattered that people actually dubbed it something, because like I just get flattered because I'm like, call it whatever you want. Like, you know, to me, it's just very flattering, because for most people, they get hung up on the ego of I'm in a fan film. To me, I never really got hung up on the ego of any of it, because I'm like, dude, I'm a fat dude in a Star Trek outfit. Like, there's no ego there. So, to me, I never really thought of it as, you know, what should I call these? You know, I just thought of it as, you know, we're just getting together and making Star Trek fan films, you know. But you going back to what you said about kind of around the world stuff.
Have to take a moment. What you're hearing there is one of Vance's co-stars in one of his episodes. That is his son, Royce, and he plays in the, I believe, which one was it? The Best of Things Part 1 and 2. So we get a extra guest with us tonight.
Up off the ground was just, he looked so confused. That was funny.
But just want to let everybody know. So go ahead, Vance.
Right on. But the thing that I loved most about doing these films, you know, besides doing my own stories for it, was the fact, like, you have Nick Cook, you have Robert, I think his last name is, or Robin, I think his last name is Hurd, I think his last name is from Dark Armada. You even have Alec Peters from Axanar. He does a voiceover in The Best Things, my final fan film. And then you have from Starship Antilles, George, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but he's one of the longest running fan film people. And a lot of people don't acknowledge that. They think, you know, they always acknowledge the James Colleys of the fan film world, but they never really acknowledge George. And that's one of the things, like, when I saw his stuff, I'm like, dude, this guy's been doing stuff since like the 90s, you know? So it's like, you know, and I love the guy's work, you know, one of the most friendliest people, and more to the point, least drama. Okay. And that, to me,
that's good.
I'd rather hang around 20 of them people than one drama starter. You know, so, but I've been very fortunate to whenever I've asked, you know, any of those people, I'd say probably 9 times out of 10, they always say, yeah, whatever you have for us, we'll do. So for me, you know, I've been able to link up, I'd say probably about maybe, you know, a dozen and a half films that have nothing to do with Starbase, and kind of link them into Starbase, right? You know, and you know, again, for me, I just get off on it as a fan of fan films, because I'm like, dude, these people starred in my film. I enjoy that, because it's like I enjoy their work. So I'm very flattered and honored to have great talent in my films, because it's like, who gets to say that, you know? So for as many naysayers out there that are like, yeah, hey, stay out of the uniform, fatty, you know, I could say, dude, I've got some cool people in my films, you know, And I got something to show Royce when he gets older. Say, hey, your old man did this. And go do better.
Yeah. Royce did it too. There you go.
Right?
Well, with this story arc, it's one that you get to play a little bit of opposites. And like Logan was saying, there's several Menards. We can go into a little bit.
At least four, if not five, possibly including you.
Yeah, right. You kind of mix franchises a little bit too, I believe.
Yep.
I kind of saw some, of course, the Doctor Who references are right out there. And we'll let everybody approach these episodes and see them as they come. They're about roughly between seven. Some of them are only 3 to 4 minutes to about, if they're two-parters, maybe 20-ish minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're little chunks and a little bit bigger chunks. So these are some of the things you'll see. But we had the Doctor Who. We definitely saw that for sure.
It's
but
a red box.
One of the things is look like one of the friends that's, I'm not sure who the actor's name, but it looked like a Back to the Future hat was on his head.
Yep.
And then I got with you on, I think it was Best of Things, or I believe it was, that you let me, was kind enough to let me see a little bit ahead of time. Looked like a Babylon 5 reference with the Valoran ship, unless I was very wrong, because it was yellow and looked a lot like it. And then you also did Orville on one of them as well. So you're kind of mixing in other franchises. So I kind of thought that was kind of cool to kind of have see that and do that. And so
even
that was
if
cool.
Your universe is not canon to their universes are canon to your universe.
There you go.
That's the thing.
Well, yeah, the thing that was so fun, like I put out after I did all my Star Trek ones, everyone had been clamoring for an Orville fan film. And I thought, well, I don't want to tie this, like, I don't want Fox to come down and say, you know, take this down. So I was like, I'm going to make this Orville one its own,
right?
You know, its own thing. And plus the fact that you kind of get the bragging rights to say, you know, I made the first Orville fan film. That's kind of cool. And I thought, well, you know, I've been playing this character for 34 fan films, and you know, it took me a minute when I counted them all up, and I was like, "Damn, 34 films! That's a lot of Menard." And I thought, "Well, I'll change his name from Eric to Derek." There we go. He's not the same character. And then I changed his color scheme from red and blue to black and gray. I'll change him enough, just a little bit, you know.
Did you change the I to an E in Menard?
There you go. But the whole thing there was, like, I just wanted to do something that was just a little bit different. And that's what I did with each one of my films. Like, you know, the Doctor Who one, I changed the TARDIS to red.
Right.
And again, like, with each iteration, like, I play Kelvin Menard, you know, the Menard from the JJ universe, you know, just because I wanted to put myself in that uniform and be on screen. Because, again, I like seeing, you know, those different uniforms, and I thought that would be kind of cool. But I you know, being a big Reverse Flash fan, when you see him in his regular clothes, like I'm wearing the red and black of the Reverse Flash, you know, just so anyone paying attention, they might be like, hey, that's kind of cool. But I do little things like that. Like if you look at that dude's in the after credit sequence, like as he's going through in his house, he's going through, there's a table of stuff. You'll see Crewman Daniels's Enterprise uniform. You'll see the Reverse Flash ring. You'll see the Legion flight ring. Yeah. You'll see the Marty McFly hat. Yeah, you'll see like all these Doctor Who sonic screwdrivers. So you kind of wonder, like, what the heck is this guy doing? Like, I really wanted to put out there, like I've told you before, on your stint on Melbourne, like, I mean, you know the type of storyteller I am. Like, I want to paint a picture, but leave enough threads there where someone else can come along and take a story and run with it.
Right.
You know, and that's what I think I did there. And I think with all of my films, I think I've made enough story elements where someone else can come along and just, you know, tell their own story or be like, man, I'm inspired to do this. What if I'm this? You know, hey, run with it. And I'm done with my stories, you know. In fact, Martin Bennett, I think you met Martin. You may not have, but I think you might have. But like he's doing fan fiction of the whole, you know, of some of the plots between the stories. And I'm like, hey, great, okay, go for it, you know. Cool. But to me, I think that's kind of flattering to have someone writing fan fiction of a fan film, you know. to me, I just think that's kind of where we are now, you know, where a couple of years ago when you and I first talked, it wasn't like that, you know. That's yeah. just, wow.
Sadly, it's been more than a couple of years ago now. Wow. Time flies.
Yeah. right?
That's amazing. Well, with this, like we said, it's multiple Menards. You have the Valhalla Stone or the Quadrillion was basically your MacGuffin.
Valhalla Stone is specific basically, crystal of Quadrillion, right. I guess.
And that brings about your alter ego through the Mirror universe as well. And there's one episode, I don't know if this was an intentional, you can tell me if it was or not, but I just stopped and got a big grin on my face. It was in Persona. You are, or he's in the room and you come in. And you have your red hoodie on with hat. He has his green hoodie on and hat, or you again.
Mario and Luigi.
Yeah, Mario and Luigi. That's what I went to.
Right in the little clip art for the icon used to click on.
Oh, did you?
It.
Okay, I didn't see that. So, okay. So, I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, like I love stuff like that where like you see like doppelgangers and you see like parallel stuff, and again, like anyone that knows, you know, like I love video games, and you're absolutely right, like the Mario and Luigi type stuff, you know, it's like, again, when you watch my films, you know, they may not be the most Trek accurate stuff, but it's like if you're a huge nerd or geek, like you're gonna see stuff like that where if you're paying attention, you're like, oh dude, I get that, or you're gonna understand the references, you know. So again, it's you know, when, you know, my fan films emphasize more on fan instead of Trek, you know. So I'm glad you, I love the fact that you pick up on that. That's awesome.
We're kind of snickering here because you have Royce's head just bobbing. He's trying to go to sleep,
right? And he's about to pass out. And I'm glad because he's very whiny today, very needy. So
he's cute. Hopefully, we're not disturbing his nap time. One of the threads that I kind of got on the last film, but then I was kind of like, okay, because how much do you want to go into this? Do you want to give everything away, or do you want to leave it for people to see some of this? Particularly talking about your death.
Full details. I'm done with everything. Okay. Spoilers doesn't bother me. Full detail, man. Okay. Let's talk.
All righty. Then I'll get into this. You have in The Best of Things, I've seen that one, but then you also have, and forgive me, I lost the episode sure. title now, but it's your death of yep. the Menard character.
And you're leaving it to the girl.
And it kind of, this one jumps around so much in the time frame. Cause, yep. but it was one of those where it's like you brought, I think, is it Carly or Carly Creer? Am I pronouncing that right? I hope I am for Carly. But you brought her back and you had a previous wife with Emily in the current timeline, and then you basically propose in essence to Carly, but then when you pass away in those episodes, we kind of, you know, there was that guy was like, you know, I would have liked to have seen more of that storyline too, and it's kind of sad that we don't get to since you're done.
Well, the thing, like, and you're absolutely right, like I do jump around in the timeline, like in a couple months I'll be releasing, because a lot of people have asked for me to release the stories in chronological order, not the filming order. And again, for me, since I have no budget, I did jump around in the timeline because I pose questions and I pose mysteries and I pose things because I don't tell the whole story. When you watch them in chronological order, of course, there's no mystery because you understand A leads to B leads to C. In fact, right. you're one of the things that you were brought in for is the boy from the future storyline, right. which, of course, is in, of course, when you get to the film Stand With Me, which was filmed before your part, when you get to that film, you see, you know, you hear the reference to that boy getting sent back in time from the Quad Lithium.
Correct.
But that was shot beforehand. So you see the boy go back in time, but then when we get to your part, you know, then it makes sense. You're like, oh, that's why they did that. Well, when you watch it in chronological order, it then adds a mystery all its own, because for those who haven't watched my stuff, that poses a different way of watching it, because they're like, what's this boy? What's going? What mystery boy from the future? So then when they get to that film, then they're like, oh, that's why they did that. So like I did it, I did it so that no matter who's watching it from which perspective, it gives it a different experience. Because again, since I have no budget, I have to be creative in my storytelling. So again, like no matter which way you watch it, it gives it a different experience. So with that storyline, And I can tell you exactly the thing about the Carly stuff. They'll never be together, and I can't tell you why. again, like the point of that, the point of my final film was I want to end this film on a happy note. And I can tell you everything that happens to every character, because again, you know, I have everything plotted out for Melbourne. And again, anyone that has watched, you know, the other fan films knows something happens with, you know, the Eobard character, you know, that Royce plays, right. You know, because of course I'm standing with the picture, yeah, and I'm looking happy at it, but then I post, I put the picture down to the tree, you know, right. Something's bad's happened, you know, and yeah. And in another film, when
film nightmare. The film nightmare.
Right. And then Nancy asks, she's like, man, you give really good fatherly advice. Are you sure you're not one? And the look he gives is kind of like kind of bittersweet, like something bad has happened there, but I never reference what. Right. But the point of the last film is not any of the tragedy that happens or any of the things that, you know, of course life goes on, but that's not the point. The point of that is I wanted to end my fan films on a positive note, which is I left the Valiant for my son, right. Which is paralleling I'm leaving fan films for my son. But on Menard's death, the point of that story was, you know, he lost his wife and he never really got over that.
Right.
And at his death, you know, I really wanted to leave it kind of open-ended to, okay, is it really his wife there that's waiting for him, or is it, you know, he's in heaven now, or is it that's just the last thought on his mind? You know, because some people say, you know, your life flashes before your eyes. Right. You know, so I left it open for interpretation, but it was very important for me that he's never got over his wife's death. But either way, they're there at the end. So for me, I knew that this is the last story with him, you know, right before he dies. And to me, it was important that they were together. So for me, that was why I did that. So.
And I know you did come back and capture Jonathan and I for a couple of brief appearances. So that was kind mm-hmm. of fun to do for you. But so there are some actors in there that are probably not as experienced as others, but we try to have fun with it. So we thank you for that, Vance.
Well, dude, and that was the thing. Like, I really, like, to me, I really wanted you guys to both have a part of that storyline of, you know, the future kid thing. Because to me, it really plays into they haven't seen it, but if part two of Melbourne's coming out, probably in the next month or two, because we're just waiting on the CGI stuff, and it's almost done. But when they watch the after credits for Stormfront Part Two, you know, they'll see why that it was important for me to have both of you guys involved with the future storyline, you know, the future kids storyline. You know, it leaves it open for, is this part of that or is this not? Like, you guys understand probably more so, you know, with that one little bit that you have, Richard, like, it's icing on the cake, you know, what is this? You know, to me, it just adds a little bit more depth to that. So, you know, to me, I'm very honored that you guys both had a hand in that, you know, thank you. Yeah. Honestly, you guys have been a blessing.
Well, I still haven't said anything to anybody. So Jonathan, unless you've said anything to other people, Jonathan doesn't even know what you're talking about just now either.
And I haven't told him anything about what you showed me either, so I mean,
it's gotta have some mystery.
So
one of the things you said, this is your last fan film, but is that door completely open? Because I know, like I said, you respect Michael King, and it looks like he's probably going to continue on, at least for some. Seems like he's got some in production still. So are you still, if he, you know, gives you a ring, say, hey, Vance, can you make a trip? Is that going to be a hard tug, or is that going to be, oh, okay, I'm a coming?
No. The thing about it is, for my films, which, like, most people, they don't realize the amount of work that goes into even these films, which, again, I have no budget, but it almost makes it harder to make these films because I have to be creative on what I'm doing and how I put stuff together and how I get stuff across. I mean, it really makes, I mean, dude, you know, having talked with you, you're like, hey, I don't have a uniform. What do we do? Let me think about this. You know, so, you know, we have to film around the limitations of hey, spend $500 on this and let's make it look good. Like, we don't have that. So we have to be smart on how we tell a story. And the thing about it is, just in the last year, you're right, it's been a couple of years that we've been doing this, but just in the last year, I've put out 22 films. That's very taxing on me. So to answer your question, on my films, yeah, I am completely done. I will not do any more fan films. Now, I'll do my independent stuff, but I mean, I can knock one of my films out in a night, maybe two.
Right.
But, you know, that'll be independent stuff, like my zombie film or another superhero film or something, you know, that I can knock out in a day.
Yeah, like
what's that now?
The thing Lynn was part of.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, we shot that less than 24 hours and we had, you know, an absolutely wonderful movie, I thought. You know, it clicked with a lot of people, you know. And again, I never really go for, hey, we got a billion likes on it. Like, I don't care about that. To me, I'm more of, you know, hey, I released a movie. Can you go comment on it? You know, if I get a couple of comments, I'm happy. Because again, I make them for my friends. To me, I never really look at those numbers of how many views did we get. I look at, hey, cool, we got 10 comments. I'm happy, you know, because it's quality over quantity. But, you know, Jeremy is going forward with the Melbourne stuff. And, of course, I'll help, you know, talk to him about stuff. But none of that is the full-time figure out on my own producing, the directing, the work with the actor, the dressing, the be-all, end-all that goes into doing it on my own. So I'll help Jeremy with his stuff. If Michael asks me to come back to act, dude, not a problem, because all that is memorize a couple of lines, hang out on set, kind of BS around. Like, that's the fun stuff. And that's stuff that I'll take Royce, you know, he will see a blue man with an antenna on the bridge of the set. Because I really want him to see this stuff and be, you know, have that be part of his childhood. But for my films, no, I can't do it anymore. But for, like, Michael King, dude, time and place, man. Like, that's not a problem. So it's not the last of Menard that you'll see. But as far as my stories being so in-depth, no, I'm done. But they're not done. So, again, it goes back to, if they were drama-free, dude, show me the script. If it's a good script, let's do it, you know, so...
Cool. And I did notice that when Vance mentions that, you know, they're on a very small budget, sometimes no budget. I think he was talking about Stormfront with the Melbourne. He invited us down again. It was a fun time, Vance, so thank you again for that. But he had me in the captain's chair with a uniform ripped up, and I could say, kind of like you said with, oh, I'm the first one to do this, I could say, I was the first one to wear that shirt that got ripped up while it was on me. And I saw it in a couple of the scenes with the young gentleman on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was Jennifer's brother.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
So, I was like, hey, I recognize that.
Yep. And it was also used again, if you watch Dark Glimmer, as I'm stabbing the Mirror Universe Emily in the captain's chair. Like, so yeah, it's been used two other times and nobody notices. It's the same shirt. And yeah, again, it's when you have something, you're like, how can I be creative with it? But yeah, nobody realizes it's the same dang shirt.
And when you did that, everybody was like, you're not going to tear up this uniform, are you? And you were kind of like, I'll find other uses for it. And you did. So it's like, you don't throw away anything, because something could come back and be used again. So that's smart thinking on your individual thinking. So that's smart thinking.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, you kind of have to, again, like, when you have no budget, like, you really have to be creative. Like, the gun that he holds in that same film that he was in, that you're talking about with the uniform, which was The Ancient Light, like, he has a gun in there. And when I sent pictures online and tagged him in it, he was like, dude, that's a really awesome gun. Like, where did you get that? I'm like, dude, that was a freebie gift that they were giving out at the circus, and I just spray painted it. Like, I spray painted it and then added, like, a little bit of acrylic paint. And like, dude, like, that's really all it was just old stuff. And that, like, that's what you have to do in these films, like, to spend, you know, $200 on a prop. Like, no, dude, like, that's not the point of these fan films. Like, take stuff that you would normally throw out. Like, you know, go raid a hoarder's living room, and that's
you find the best. Well, you think about it, when you think of back in the day when TOS was on, you know, the original series, they were operating on budgets like that. They were just grabbing what they could. They didn't have the money to just go out and spend everything. So it kind of gives it that old flair that you're looking for, since a lot of the sets are set within that time frame.
Well, and that's exactly it. Like, you have, like, when you have those budget limitations, like, you know, you have to do, you know, you have to make do with that type of stuff. You know, and again, you know, spending $200 on a prop that looks, you know, no better than something that, you know, I spent maybe 30 minutes on, 45 minutes on, just taking the time to do it right. And it was really fun because, honestly, like, I popped on Star Trek The Motion Picture and had that as background noise, which, I mean, honestly, that's all that movie really is good for, because it's nothing more than just people staring at a screen, like, making weird, weird faces that you kind of wonder where their hands on. You know, when they're not on the screen, like, what are they doing? You know, so, yeah. Well, it's a weird movie anyway, but
when we talked about that, when we dubbed it the slow motion picture, so, you know.
Yeah, or the motionless picture. Yeah, it's just weird movie.
But it brought it back, so you can't complain. So
there's right, that. Right.
And then we have down in Georgia, Ray Tessie has purchased another set. So it's good to see the sets surviving and coming back.
And with Ray Tessie, yeah, you know, I've been talking with him pretty frequently over the past few weeks. That studio couldn't be in better hands. The guy has a genuine love for fan films. In fact, he was there at the first Promenadicon that, you know, you and I first met. The dude came all the way up from Florida just to be there and and see the sets. You know, I mean, if that tells you anything about the guy's heart, you know, the guy's got a love for fan films, wants nothing but the best for us. You know, so again, outside of the online trolls, you know, the people that like to stir the pot. And again, most of those people have no invested interest except for, you know, popcorn eating armchair critics that want to sit there and watch, you know, people get frustrated. And those people, you know, you can't give them the time of day. Everybody who has any invested interest in fan films, I think you're going to see a very interesting year going forward in 2018. You know, a lot better year than, you know, 2017 was. Even though for me, 2017 was, you know, a very busy year for me.
True. You know, so. Well, we're part of that popcorn watching crew that gives our thoughts, but we have fun. We always want to have fun with it.
We don't troll.
So we hope that everybody takes it in good fellowship, put it that way.
Good humor.
So we'll give everybody rings later on. So, but that's one of the things. Just wanted to bring Vance back on to visit with what he's been doing. Again, this, like you said, last year has been very busy for him. I've been neglectful, haven't got anything posted for the best things, but you did show me an early screening, I guess you could say. It wasn't the full episode, or it was like maybe the first part or the last part that you let me see. I think it was the last part more than the first. So we'll get that to you. It's one of those, again, kind of like you. It's like, oh my gosh, life interferes sometimes.
right.
So that is in the works. I have not forgot, believe it or not. Probably think that at times. But it's just been a blast getting to know you, getting to experience your stories through Uncool Trekkie, even with the Starship Valiant and, of course, Shadow Storm Studios. So anybody that's interested in all these, you can see Vance's work. Do you also have another YouTube channel that I'm missing, or for some reason?
No. Okay. I had to change the name to Uncool Trekkie. It used to be, I think it was Vance-a-mania or something like that, or sounds maybe right. Vance.
Because like, you can still see that name on the top of the, in the address bar when you go to videos by Uncool Trekkie.
Okay. See, I was thinking there was another one.
But yeah, I had to change it to Uncool Trekkie because James Hamm, I'll be working for him for Treksphere doing videos for like reviews and stuff. Probably maybe one or two a month. As something, because given my experience on fan films, and I guess some people really enjoy what I have to say, which I'm like, dude, I'm just a chatterbox. But you know, I was like, sure, I'll do it. So he was like, all right, think of something Trekkie to put up as your name, and I'm like, I'm not really, I don't know. And so Uncool Trekkie, I felt kind of fit. You know, it was either that or, you know, like, I mean, fat Trekkie in a Star Trek uniform didn't really fit the barcode. So I guess Uncool Trekkie was.
Oh, man.
That was a little, that rolls off your tongue a little better, you know. So
yep. True. So that's what you're going to be doing in the future is the podcasting. So everybody look for that.
Yeah, just whenever I have time, just recording video and then uploading it, you know, letting James deal with that, you know, because okay. It's something I used to do like years ago. Mm-hmm. And again, like I never really paid attention to the views. I just did it because it amused myself. And I mean, heck, I'm the guy that, you know, gave Batman and Robin a positive glowing review, you know, and just to troll my friends. So I think I'm going to do that with a couple of Voyager episodes and, you know, especially Threshold for anyone that's paying attention, you know, got up. Episode, but yeah, just to amuse myself. So,
yeah, that's what it's there for. That's what we're doing here is having fun. So we enjoy.
There you
it.
Go.
So as long as you're enjoying it, that's what matters. And we kind of turn off the negative stuff here because if we get anything through, I usually try to avert my eyes to that because I don't want to deal with that. I just want positive feelings here. So
yeah, too much negativity out there, man. You got to keep the yeah. It's one of the things I like about you guys, man, is you guys are always positive. So and good flow, man.
Oh, thank you for that. Is there anything else coming up, or are you going to be at any conventions that you want to mention that anybody can see you at?
What's that now?
Is there anything else that you're going to be working on or any conventions that you're going to be at that somebody might be able to come up and visit with you?
No, I actually stopped at last year's, the convention you
SoonerCon?
You guys came. Yeah, SoonerCon, that was it. That was the last one that I agreed to do because I knew with Royce, like I knew once Royce was in my life, I knew, okay, I need to start shutting this down. And I talked with Mona, and again, I had been asked to do several conventions, and I had done them. And it just gets to the point where it's like, okay, I'm taking too much time off work. I can't really afford this. Then bills get put on hold. And then you bounce just to pay the bounce fees, and you're not right. Really paying bills. And then then it gets to the point where it's like, okay, I'm doing conventions. And this just financially, this doesn't pan out. Same thing with fan films. It's like, look, I can do them in my backyard, but I can't do 20 fan films and go and do that. Like, realistically, it's like, I'm a dad.
Right.
I can't. It's one thing when you're just married and you're like playing, you know, kind of playing single life because, you know, you and your wife have been together 20 years and it's like, I don't care, you know. But when you're a dad, it's like, look, I got to buckle down. So the last one I did was SoonerCon, and that's pretty much, okay. I don't think I will. We've kind of had some discussions about maybe doing another Promenadicon just with our friends. But again, with certain individuals and license, you know, agreements and their panties getting in a bunch, I don't know if that's feasible. Okay. So I don't know if I'm going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. And again, like you have said, you just try to avoid the drama. I'd rather not even have that on my plate. So it's something where I'll consider. But for what's coming up for me, in March, I have a zombie film coming out. It's a sequel to my first one, Dead Inside. And this one's called The Corner of Longview. Then I have, in the beginning of summer, I'm going to be filming an alien abduction film called Uninvited. And that's pretty much all I have right now. And then I'll be returning back to Lynn's franchise of the Pursuit. Guy for the sequel, The Dark Detective. And we've talked off and on a little bit, but it's really more of a timing issue when I can get him back. And I've figured out like what I can film around him. And then when he comes, I can just snap, snap, snap. Okay, we're good. Because I know timing's really an issue, especially with his book going off. Because it's like, even though I don't comment a lot or pay that much attention, like I do pay attention to him because I know that I need him for stuff. Okay. So, you know,
okay.
Yeah. Cool. So that's pretty much what I've got coming up. So,
okay. So everybody look forward to those three. Like you said, that is Uninvited, Dark Detective, that might be coming up. But the next one coming out is going to be Corner of Longview. That is a sequel to Dead Inside. And those are going to be released through the Uncool Trekkie YouTube channel.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So everybody pay attention to the links there and subscribe to them. And you'll get notifications when they get put up so you can watch them right away. If you just want to browse around his other videos, he'd be glad to have you do that as well. They're very well done. You can tell that a lot of them come from the heart. That's what I really enjoyed about these videos and fan films, is you can tell that they are coming from his heart, and that's nice to see. So if anybody out there go check it out at Uncool Trekkie. Vance, that's going to pretty much do it for us. We're running up on the clock here. We thank you for coming back on again tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, man. I honestly, like, I really appreciate it. Any chance I get to talk with you guys. I love making time for you guys because it's more than just, you know, an interview. It's chatting with old friends, man. Like, I love you guys, honestly. So, well, thank you.
You'll have to keep us in the loop, and then you're going to be dropping some of these. Just get in touch with us, and we'll try to shoot something off real fast.
Awesome. Right on, man. Thanks, guys.
Keep us in mind. We'll work with you. We'll even have Royce back on.
When he wakes up from his nap, huh?
There you go. He's
kind of there.
So, well, everybody, we've been having fun, like I said, visiting with Vance Major, actor, director, producer of several Star Trek fan film productions, also working on the Dead Inside series, Pursuit series, and his upcoming film, Uninvited. But again, the next one out is Corner of Longview, next in the Dead Inside series. We've been having fun visiting with Vance. We hope everybody out there has been enjoying listening to us. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
Vance.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.